Recently early this morning and just waited in God's presence, and he spoke into my heart. Sometimes he does do this. There are various ways that God will reveal what he would have me to address, but there was something he spoke to me today, and that was this: are you driven or led? Are you driven or led? And he then gave me a sort of vision, an impression. And basically the interpretation of this was, you can travel on an old, dirty, crowded train, stopping at every station and so on, or you can go first class in comfort and arriving in a better state of mind and peace. And that's what he gave me with regard to this title, Are You Driven or Led? And it didn't take long for me to begin to understand how God wants to lead us each day. And I'm going to open up by what I believe he means by this old dirty crowded train you can go on, or you can go first class in comfort, arriving in a better state of mind and peace. And the scripture he gave, I believe, to confirm this is in Isaiah 26, chapter 26. And I basically want to look at verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. I'm sure you know this well. You will keep him, or you will keep me, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because I trust in you, or he trusts in you. You can always put yourself there. So that's what he's saying here. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Are you driven or led? We have to allow the Holy Spirit to, in a sense, to set guards in place. And where he sets these guards and wants to set these guards in place is with the mind, our minds. Our minds are often under a battle. The battleground for the Christian, particularly, is with regard to the mind. And how you think, how you understand, how you're seeing and everything, all of which is connected with man's mind, his thinking. we all of us will grasp things in different times and in different ways. A teacher will know that if they're teaching a class. They have to learn pretty quickly with each child or student how they learn, or are they understanding, or do we need to go over it again, or whatever it would be. So, you know, it's important how we understand, how we take in by the Spirit what God wants us to learn. I haven't forgotten the title, Are You Driven or Are You Led? Because you're going to begin to see, hopefully in a minute, where I'm coming at with regard to this. But the mind is where we are programmed, in that sense. And the enemy is always coming up with new ways in which to control man's mind. The spirit of this age is fundamentally about control. And the powers of darkness are always looking for new ways in which to control man's mind. And if they can control man's mind, then they keep you away from looking to God. It is those scales that are over the eyes you cannot see or understand unless God in his mercy touches your life. But even when we are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, we become more aware of the battle in the mind. And there are times when you just feel that the powers of darkness have such a hold over the mind that you just feel, I can't control this any longer. Or it just seems to be so strong that I just can't cope any longer. Well, our trials, and most of our trials, seem to be impossible, naturally speaking, if we did but know, tell us more about God. It's what we're looking to. That's the problem. If your trials seem impossible, they seem like a mountain that just cannot be removed, or whatever it would be, then that is actually telling you more about God. That is telling you that God is actually in complete control. Because if he was not in complete control, it wouldn't really be happening to you. That's the strange thing about all of this. Now, God, in salvation, has brought us into a church, an assembly like this, where we are so blessed with the purity of his word. But putting it in common terms, we're actually here today because God is still programming us. He's still removing wrong information. And the word of God will do that, being a two-edged sword, dividing. And that is ultimately what he's doing. You see, by reprogramming us, getting out wrong information means then that we're in that place to believe by faith. Most unbelief or hindrances to faith is still because there's areas in the mind that is still at the moment not programmed according to the will of God. And that is why, where your faith is concerned, the battle is not so much in your circumstances. They may be there, and they may be very real, but your battle is in the mind, the thinking. When we use the terms of the mind and the thinking, if the mind isn't right, the mind, the heart, in other words, harmonizing with the word of God, because that's what it means. When we believe, it means we are perfectly harmonized, one with God in my belief with the word of God. Now, by faith, We believe the word of God. We say amen to the word of God. We're here today because we want to hear the word of God. But we have to accept the fact that there are still things within the mind that doesn't still completely agree with the word of God. How do we know that? Your trials tell you so. Your confession tells you so. Do you still hear yourself confessing things contrary to the word of God? Of course you do. Now that's trying to tell you something, you see. And the humble will hear what God is trying to say. Because everything that is not lining up with the word of God, where we're not still yet believing, the enemy can buffet, he can work, and this is where he tries to drive us. He tries to buffet us. Jesus has come as the great shepherd to what? To lead and guide his sheep. That is what he does. That is his ministry. The enemy can't do that. He can come as a counterfeit, but what he will do in every way, it is always in the area of control. And so if ever there's control of any form, whatever it is, you will find behind control there is a driving force.
Yeah.
I'll explain that further as we go on. And the enemy knows this. And this is why the enemy is trying to hold to the mind of the believer. But God has said in his word that we have the mind of Christ. And if we choose to believe that and want that, then he's going to work that. And he's going to start to work that deliverance. And when you started to say, Lord, I want the mind of Christ, I want your mind, I want your will, I want your heart and everything, at that point, your battle started. And after a few weeks, you were saying to yourself, what on earth has gone wrong? My world has turned upside down, inside out. Everything's gone completely wrong. What is happening? You're getting delivered. You're getting delivered. You're now starting to be reprogrammed. And in time, you then begin to realise what's happening, you see. Now, something interesting where the enemy works. I want to just look to the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. And I want just to look at verse 22 of Matthew 13. And I want us just to look at verse 22. We know this parable very well, but it's so applicable, this parable, because it's all about being reprogrammed, funnily enough. And in verse 22... Now he who received seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now, so often we say, the devil's attacking me and the devil's having a go and so forth. Satan's not always attacking, as we think. Oh, he does, don't get me wrong. And thank God that we don't have to sort of turn and God says, now I want you to apologise to Satan. You've blamed him for things that you thought he was doing. Praise God, he doesn't do that. But he'd be just to, but he doesn't, because he knows the nature of the enemy. But what is this saying here? Now he who received seed among thorns is he who hears the word, is hearing, just like we're doing today, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked that word. So it's no good at this one blaming Satan. The trouble is, we won't believe if we can't see. And the problem here is that it is the cares of the world, it is looking to riches, it is the worries, the anxieties that chokes the word. So if Satan can't get you in one way, he's going to try and get you in another way to what? Block you from having your mind, heart, reprogrammed by the Holy Spirit. He's going to try whatever way he can. And in this one, this is one of the most pernicious ways, because we are actually doing it by allowing these things, the world, to drive us, which the world does. And so because we're not in a state mentally, physically, psychologically, spiritually, we're coming to church, we're going through the motions like many, many do, but that word is not doing anything. We can say amen, we can get all excited, but it ain't doing anything. Only the humble will get up and after hearing a word say, Lord, has that word done anything to me today? Because I've said yes, I've said amen, and I like what I've heard, but is it really going to do anything to me? Is it reprogramming me? Is it changing me, giving me the mind of Christ? We have to be honest with God on that. Because it says here, quite clearly, it's the cares of this world, its deceitfulness, its riches that choke that word. And I don't have to tell you what the world's like out there, how it deceives you, it beguiles you, it seduces you, it tells you if you buy that big expensive car, you will be the happiest person on planet Earth. That's what it tells you. It's not to say you can't have these things, but it's the lie that's behind it. And if we are blessed, I'm blessed because God has given me this, but it's not controlling my life. He can give and he can take. That's the whole point. But it isn't going to affect my stand with God. And sometimes God allows us to go through a trial and test just to see where our affections are really lying. Because these things drive us, they choke us. We are living in an age now, brothers and sisters, where people are driven. And technology, and doesn't man like to boast of his technology, but all this technology has a driving force behind it, controlling you. And here we are, we should be led gently by the great shepherd. And that is why God will work separation. That is why he brings us away from the world, its driving force, its lie, its deception, its mirage, so that we can then clearly see things in a completely different way. You see? And that goes back to the vision that I had. Are you still wanting to go on that old crowdy, dirty train, stopping at every stop, or do you want to go first class and arrive in a peace and soundful mind? That's spiritually speaking. And yet, we so often want to go with the way of the world and the strife that is attached to it. This is why God is delivering us from everything of the arm of the flesh. But we all know we're on a journey on this. We all know where things went terribly wrong, where you are criticized and judged if you went to the arm of the flesh, which of course isn't the Holy Spirit. But what do we still adhere to? We still hold that standard, that banner that we are aiming for. We do not compromise on it. We may be compromising, but the message that will come out week after week will still be that sword, that standard, that you can come to that place where you can totally trust me and walk totally by faith. We can't deviate on that. The moment I deviate from that, I will step down from this pulpit. And we may be called a cult. We may be saying, oh, well, those guys are deluded. Nobody can walk that or whatever it is. Well, what's the point then? Do we either serve God or we don't? You know? It's so easy to compromise. And the moment you compromise, you will find the spirit will change. The message will change. The meeting will change. The people will change. And what will you find? Strife begins to start. Then man's got his ideas. And we'll do this. And we'll do this for the kingdom and everything. And instead of being led, you are driven. Shepherdship drives Christians. It holds them in bondage. And it's so subtle. See? You're not. You're not. You are ever pointed to the great shepherd. That is what the word of God is to do. You see? And we're always there to support, to encourage, but you're ever given the opportunities to exercise your faith yourself between you and God. I can't believe for you. I can stand with you, believe with you, but I can't believe for you. The same as you can't do it for your brother or sister. And that's why we pray and intercede for one another. But they are the ones that initially have to reach out in faith to God. Otherwise it's idolatry. Otherwise it creates that strife. You're never going to grow. You're never going to experience God for yourself. Each one in this assembly has your unique stand and position before God. Your stand is different to my stand. My stand is different to your stand. They are all unique, perfect, one in God. God is not producing clones. Churches that produce clones, you will find they are driven to do such things. This is sonship that God has given to us. And so, going back to that parable, it's the cares of this world is what it has to offer. And that will occupy your time, your relationship with God. It'll hinder your peace, striving, and out of God's will. That's what the cares of this world is. People who are wealthy have to watch their wealth. They have to make sure that their wealth is growing, getting more for their money, their interest. Wealthy people have quite a lot of properties, things to look after, all of that sort of thing. Doesn't just run itself. So they find that they are occupied in their wealth, trying to keep it going, trying to keep their empire going. I mean, look at businesses, international businesses around the world. What do? They're driven all the time. They're all the time having to be one step ahead. The business is so competitive out there now, if you did but know it. The market out there, the competition, everyone driving, everyone trying to come up with a better deal or a better offer or one step ahead. These people in big industries are nothing but driven. And we wonder why strokes, heart attack, cancer is on the increase. And how the enemy tries to deceive us from those things. Oh, you get cancer because of what you eat or lack of exercise. No. These diseases are caused by worry, by anxiety, by being driven constantly in the third lane. That's what causes so much of these diseases. Man wasn't created for that. And when you become a Christian, the first thing God does is he puts the brakes on. You're getting out of that third lane. Because where are most deaths caused on a road? Did you know where they're caused mostly? On the third lane, because that's where speed is. You've less time to control. So God slows everything down. So that you can see the one who's really in control over your life. And it's interesting, isn't it, to see you've got a generation coming today who are driven, and yet they'll look for any opportunity to just have a break or get away. It's amazing. Do you know, I was only thinking the other day, it's amazing what a little stretch of water or a pond or whatever it'll do will attract people. Put a few trees there, get a car park, get a nice lake, and you've got them flocking. And they come. And they'll start to have a picnic there, or they'll take the children round there, and everything. Why are they attracted to that? It's not rocket science. It's a bit of peace. We can just switch off. We can just relax and chill out, you see? And so this is why you've got now the enemy catering to all of these needs today, so that people can chill out in ways that they want, whether in New Age. New Age is offering all forms of, you can chill out. I was reading an article in the paper the other day. Don't often buy a paper, but I had it. And it was on about meditation. It's a big thing. People are going in for meditation now. Not just Buddhists, but others. And now, this was written by a psychiatrist. They're worried. Because they're finding it's actually creating depression. And they said one of the things that's coming out, they said they're seeing a huge increase with people having panic attacks. And they think it's connected with trying to empty the mind and so forth. Because all it's doing is fundamentally getting you attuned to yourself. Now, we're all for meditation, but what does meditation, the Bible show, it's not about you, it's concentrating on Christ. The good news of the gospel is to take us away from self. All of these cults and everything are all inward looking. Looking, ministering to self, trying to change self. Because self, I am a God. That's what it's about. And everything about the good news of the gospel is to take us away from ourselves. Because self is our worst enemy. As I've read here in the parable of the sower here in verse 22. Verse 22 indicates you are your own worst enemy on this one. So don't blame the devil. Of course he'll use it, but you are your own worst enemy. Praise God, he loves us. He's getting us free, isn't he?
Amen.
That's why we're not driven, we're led gently by the great shepherd. You see, the problem is, when we're being driven, when we start to do things in our own strength, we find that God doesn't then fit into the equation. The moment you are doing something, or I think that's a good idea, I think I will do that, we go ahead and we want God to fit into the equation, what we're doing, and we find he doesn't. And what happens then? We start to get angry, irritated. It's not working. It's all gone wrong. You know, it didn't work out today. And you just have to stop and say, Lord, I know what the problem is. I've left you out of it. And we do it. And that will happen if you are being driven. If you are a person being driven, you haven't time to let God in on this. It's what the enemy wants. This is why we have to give time for God. We have to bring a thing before him. No matter how big or how small, and wait and let him in on the situation. And he will. Not always, maybe at the time we want, but he will be there. It's seeking that kingdom. And all these things will be added. And you will just be led through life. You'll be led through your trials. You'll be led through that situation instead of that striving side. You know what it's like when you strive or are being driven, there's a loss of peace. And one of the things that starts to affect very quickly is your energy levels. It's like you are just running on a battery. And the battery is getting lower and lower, and you're getting more and more tired, you get irritable, and so forth. It's that loss of peace. We've all gone through it. We all know what we're talking about. And you find you're just literally being driven. Nobody can survive in that situation. That's why God is against wars and all that sort of thing. Because when a nation or country tries to take over another nation or whatever it is, it's a driving force. You see? That's what's behind it. And very often behind things that are driven is control. And control is witchcraft. This is why in prayer, intercession, we're so often finding ourselves warring against witchcraft. It's about control. The world is controlled. Our families are controlled. Everything is controlled. Man wants to be in control. I was listening to a report the other day. They're getting a bit upset because councils and that, in financial difficulty, and there's not the money and so forth. So a lot of our CCTV cameras that we've got around, you know, Big Brother watching, some of them are actually not switched on now because they can't afford to have people sitting in those rooms looking at them and controlling them. So that's worried them now. It's worrying the police and so forth. Why? Because we can't control. Brothers and sisters, this land is pagan. And we're seeing all signs of paganism coming out now. It's blatant. It's open. It doesn't matter what it is, you know, everything is blatant and open. It's all signs of paganism. We're not a Christian country. It's pagan. But they don't want to hear that. But we still have areas, don't we, where we are still driven, we're held. You know, people can be driven with eating habits, alcoholics. There are people driven with electronics, gadgets, computer games. People are driven with football and, that's the latest one I've heard. They want now for their anthem for football, guess what? Abide with me. That's what they want. Yeah, that's going to be it now. Abide with me. I wonder if they really know what that actually means. They're wanting God to be with them when they go out and play football. I tell you, football is a real big idol. It's a god. It is so corrupt. And so you see, you're going to know what you are because you'll know what dominates you. And what dominates you is what you speak on. So you can hear people out today. It doesn't take long when you talk with them. You know exactly what controls them because that's what they talk about. It's what dominates them. Well, what do we like to talk about? Jesus. Amen. We can only be happy when we can talk about Jesus. We've got our family, we've got our friends, we've got people we know are not saved. But you know, you can only speak so long with them. It's because you starve to talking about Jesus. The things of the kingdom. There's just not that true unity and oneness. Praise God, he's put that in us. Don't ever fight against that. I know sometimes this walk can be lonely. It really can. It just feels as though it's only you and God. But he knows what he's doing. That is the whole point. But God leads us and he doesn't drive us. And the Holy Spirit, he's ever gentle, he's that dove. And your journey each day determines what state you are in when you arrive at the other destination. Your journey each day is telling you, am I going in that crowded train, dirty, you know, every station, it's just awful. Or am I going first class? Because the way you walk, the way you act, the way you live will determine that. You see, that's the point. See, faith is a rest. Read it in Hebrews. God is bringing us spiritually into that land of rest. He's in a sense, physically rooted us out. He's brought us out of denominationalism, man-made things. But we're now entering that rest, the land, by faith, spiritually. But he's got to get us out first in order to do that. And that's what he's doing. Because that rest, when the world sees that rest, when they're all in turmoil, or they're all upset, or confused, and there we are just resting in God, that shows us we are being led each day. We're not driven, you see. That's the whole point. Or are you worried because it's late? It hasn't arrived. Or it hasn't turned out how I thought. Or are you going to be driven by that unbelief or whatever it would be? Whatever you're seeking God on, whatever your trial, refuse to work it out how you think it's going to end or be. Don't do it. Don't do it. Avoid that temptation. Lord, it is in your hands and you will have the best.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to rest in that, because if I try and work this out or I build my hopes up in whatever it will be, I know it's going to be different. And then I'm going to be disappointed, and then I'm going to be angry with you, and it didn't turn out. You can see what's going to happen. Instead, just rest and leave it with God. I trust you enough to know that this is going to be even better than I could even begin to imagine. Because you're God. That's what he wants from us. And when you can leave it like that, you're resting with the Lord. Even in your trial or whatever it is. And I can assure you, you will never be disappointed. Even though it's tarrying, and I know things are tarrying in our lives, you wait. And God will be faithful. You will see. And you will just be bowled over and think, praise God, I couldn't have thought that one out if I tried. You know, I used to play games with God when I was younger. It's confession time now. I used to think I could work out what he was going to do. And I'd have it all worked out. And then he would come up with something. And I thought, gosh, my, you are clever. I hadn't thought of that. I always used to try and outdo him, you know? I mean, it's stupid, isn't it? To think I was God and I could work it out. And he would always come up with something different. And I think, whoa, I couldn't work that one out if I tried. And I soon began to learn, you see. But we do it. We do it. This is the point. And it's so subtle how we do all this. And then that worry, that anxiety all is joined with it and so forth. Let it go. Let it go. And very often, God allows in trials to let the whole thing collapse. You know, you think to yourself, well, I thought it was going to be a trial, but I had no idea the whole thing was going to collapse. It's completely gone. It's collapsed. It's completely out of control. There's nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. That tells me then it's God. When God has got you in a situation which is impossible, that is all the signs of God on the scene. Don't try and work it out. Don't try and analyze it. Just believe it. Because that's God on the scene, working. Jesus is the shepherd and he leads his sheep. And to be led means that you have time to adjust. This was something else he showed me. He said, the reason that I lead you, because it gives you time to adjust on the journey that we are on. We are not very good at change. We are creatures of habit. That's what sin has done. So by leading us gently, he's allowing us to be able to change, to mould to the circumstances, to the situation, to what God is doing. So that's a reason why he leads us. That's why people love to go on boats. Most of us have been on a boat. I had the fortune years ago of going on a boating holiday. It was one of the best holidays I ever had. Do you know why? You just poodle along, and the scenery and everything is all gradually changing. It's not this rapid change. It's all just moving along comfortably, and you adapt to it, you see, as the scene changes. Unlike today, of course, we all use them, but we go by planes, don't we? And we get into an aeroplane, and after about 5-6 hours, we get out, and there's two things that we find. Either it's below zero, the temperature, or it's so extremely hot, and you, here you are, you've got to adjust to all of that immediately, you know? Don't get that with God. You have time to adjust as he leads us. You also have time to take in the view, which means as he leads us, he's giving us time to keep our eyes looking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His leading us isn't in any way causing us to look away from him, but ever to keep our eyes on him. Because if you're driven, you can't keep your eyes on the Lord for long. You've got to look at other things because you're being driven. So you see, he doesn't do that. And another thing that he spoke to me, and this is the love of God, he leads us because he gives time for those who could possibly be going astray. He has time to find them. And he does with the shepherd's crook, or if the sheep goes astray or gets caught in a ditch or whatever, that crook there round the neck, and he's able to pull them out because he's leading. And when the shepherd leads, it means like a mother, she can keep her eyes on her children. A mother that's being driven and harassed can't keep her eyes fully on her children. This is why I hold to it, and I know I won't go down very well with women's lib and freedom and equality today, but if a woman can stay with her children, so much better. Because she has time to keep an eye on them. There's just those little parts of their lives as they're growing up that a mother sees that somebody else doesn't see. There are things in a child that a mother sees. Not even the father sees it. She has to have that time to work that through with the child. She can't if she's driven. She can't. So you see, that's how God works with us. He drives us, he leads us gently. And there's time there because of all the problems, the things we're going through, the deliverances and everything. His eyes are ever upon us and he knows exactly what he's doing because he's that shepherd, you see. And then those who maybe want to go off and do their own thing or rebellion or whatever it is, he's got time, he's in no rush. I'll go out and look for you. And I'm going to bring you back. You think you can do what you can do, but I'm showing you I've got things better for you. Thank God he does that. Yes. Hallelujah. And finally, very important this one. He leads us gently in his own time because he guards us against predators. You haven't the same protection over your children if you are driven as a family with all the worries and anxieties, trying to pay the bills, striving for this, striving for that. You are not protecting them fully that they need to have. See, we can take these principles, can't we, with what God does with us, we take it over into family life. So a mother particularly, again, needs that time with her children. Because there's predators about. There's things out there that wants to destroy them. She guards. She's that lioness. You look in the lion world, you look in the pride, you see it's not the lion that does it, it's the lioness. She's the guard, she's the huntress over, because the lion sometimes will destroy, will kill a young cub. If it's interfering with his relationship or whatever, he'll get rid of it. So she protects. Sometimes in the animal world, she has to hide those cubs from the lion, from him. She'll protect, she'll hide them deliberately so that they're not killed. So we can take these spiritual analogies and we can see it. And this is why the enemy is attacking family life. He knows where to go. And he's destroying all these things that are so essential, that make the fabric of our life, society, and whatever. He's trying to destroy all of these. And so, of course, the guard comes down, and then all the problems start to arise, and society as we know it, and family life as we know it, starts to break up, and all the stuff that we see today that you hear. Praise God, he's restoring that. That's why he brings us into the fold. He starts to build our lives back again, how God intended it to be. But he does it on the basis of leading us and not causing us to strive or driven. You don't need to do that. The moment you are seeing driving forces starting to work, the moment you're beginning to feel anxieties, worries starting, just stop. You need to come back to the shepherd that's leading and guiding you. Amen?
Amen.
Father, again, we've heard your heart poured out to us today. We've heard you, and you love us so much. And you guard us, you keep us, your eye is ever upon us. Lord, we want to be led by you. We don't want the spirit of this age driving us. We've had enough, Lord. It's your presence, it's your peace, it's your blessing, it's your ways that we want. We've tried the world's ways, and it's brought nothing but vexation of spirit. Father, we thank you today as your people. We're here in your fold. We just sense your presence, your touch over our lives, ministering that peace to our mind and spirit. And Lord, we sense also today that you have reprogrammed us spiritually. You have taken out some things that shouldn't be there and replacing them with your word, your presence. Father, I pray that we would be faithful to that which we hear. We know that there are so many things that want to try and keep us away from your presence. But let us determine to seek you daily and to set our heart and affections upon you. And whatever tries to keep us out of your presence, you will deliver us. And so, Lord, I thank you today for bringing us together. I thank you for making this meeting possible. I thank you for our fellowship, the way we're able to pray one for another and share with one another. We are all equal and level in your sight. We thank you, Father, that we don't have that strife in this assembly, but you are leading and guiding us. We thank you, Father, that each of us has our unique stand and call and ministry and relationship with you. And yet we're still one together in Christ. That's the miracle. Thank you, Father, you're not making clones out of us, that we are driven to act and be and look the same. Father, we thank you for sonship in this place. We're growing up. We're taking on that rightful position. We are heirs, co-heirs with Christ.
Co-heirs.
We're destined for the throne. We are the sons of God that will rule and reign with you. You are training us to become ambassadors, rulers, teachers. You're training us to be examples of Christ and Him alone. Lord, we are seeing such a sick world out there. Where they're calling right wrong and wrong right, light dark and dark light, utter confusion. But praise God, you've drawn us into the spiritual ark. But Lord, we know that door is still open, and we know there is still more to come in, because one day you will close it. And so, Father, thank you. I pray we'll have a blessed week until we assemble again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Onward.